welcome to Chumbology, a Chumbawamba anthology podcast. On this podcast, we are digging song by song, album by album, through, you know, one of the most swinging bands of all time, Chumbawamba. That band is Chumbawamba, folks.
Ooh, Chumbawamba.
On today's episode, we're taking a look at the song All Mixed Up, which is track 7 off of Chumbawamba's 7th studio album. We got our lucky 7s going this week.
Hell yeah.
Swingin' with Raymond. And with this song, we do officially enter the latter half of Swingin' with Raymond, which is the, quote, hatin' it portion. The first 6 songs were lovin' it. They were the cute, sweet, acoustic, lovey-dovey songs. Now, we're all about hate.
Yeah, we're in the mix.
We're hating the mix. We only listen to hate breed.
Yeah, this is our hate breed episode.
This is our hate breed podcast. Yeah. Hateology. We have to address a big piece of news first. We did it, baby. Donald Trump's off Twitter, dude. He's off Twitter. Like, fucking democracy is saved, man.
I'm so sad.
And now fucking the big orange doofus is gonna get kicked out of the White House, and Joe Biden and Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi can finally save us from the terror of the Donald.
Look, Donald Trump's a bad guy, but one thing he was good at was posting, and
he was real good at posting.
I will miss him. I'm trying to find...
Maybe I'm not the biggest fan of his latter day, you know, stoking racist violence tweets, but his one about Coca-Cola is a fucking classic.
I was about to read that one. It's so fucking good. Hold on. Give me one second. I'm scrolling through. I sent all of my favorite ones to Phil the other day. But, so Donald, I think they should give him his Twitter account back once he's not president. Because when he was president, his tweets sucked because he did shit like stoke racist violence and enable white supremacists and shit like that. But before that, he just tweeted about like Fashion Week. Truly rest in peace to our first bisexual president. there's no way a straight man cares about the fucking Fashion Week. All right, here we go. The Coca-Cola company is not happy with me, but that's okay. I'll still keep drinking that garbage. Absolute classic.
What does that even fucking mean?
I don't know.
Why was the Coca-Cola company unhappy with him?
I don't know. I think this was like about when he was like starting to become like a right-wing like media personality. This wasn't quite when he was running for president. That was in 2012. There's also one from September 14th, 2013, which says, New York Fashion Week is really bad and used to be glamorous and exciting. No stars, no fun, just boring. They need serious help. Hashtag NYFW. Truly the greatest president we've ever had.
Yeah. Rest in peace to a true poster.
I'm going
to
read one more because it's absolutely incredible. This was from September 11th, 2013. I would like to extend my best wishes to all, even the haters and losers, on this special date, September 11th.
Those all sound like Drill tweets.
I know. It's you know what this means is that Drill will be president in like 30 years when he's an old man.
I'd vote for Drill.
I'd vote for Drill.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. Well, while talking about ramblings, do you want to read the liner notes from this song? Because they also sound like a Drill tweet.
Absolutely. So this song, as we've discussed each week, the album booklet for each song on Swingin' with Raymond so far, for each, like, next to each lyrics has been, like, quotes. Most of them so far have been, like, you know, pretty short. This one is actually like 3 different quotes, and one of them is very long. So I'll read them in order, in the order in which they appear in the booklet. The first is, fools had ne'er grace in a year, for wise men are grown foppish, and know not how their wits to wear their manners are so apish. And that's from King Lear by William Shakespeare. And then... this is a long one that is not attributed to anyone. I actually haven't read this yet. This is a blind read. Ooh. How to Turn Shit into Gold. The alchemists have been doing it all along under the cloak of the divine right of wannabe kings. Touched by the hand that gives the enema, worming tablets, flea powder, and disinfectant baths for their heir apparent politician who will show most willingness to go one lower. I'll do anything to be on television. Pull out all the stops, whatever it takes to make him fit the bill. I smoked, but I didn't inhale. My face turned red and then blue. I sent my son to public school, and even the Wicked Witch of the West approves. And so, the fool as professional idiot has been outclassed and made redundant by the genuine stupidity of these smart alecks. But the fool, worth his salt, finds out where the wise man is ticklish, and laughs with him as he drives the knife home into the soft, unyielding underbelly.
Wonderful.
That is a long-ass quote that is not attributed to anyone. And finally, the third quote. There is more force in names than most men dream of, and a lie may keep its throne a whole age longer if it skulk behind the shield of some fair-sounding name. And that is attributed to Anonymous. So, this song is fucking batshit cuckoo.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Lyrically, is one of the wildest songs I have yet encountered in a Chumbawamba album. And I think that those quotes kind of sum it up. It's like there's themes of hiding, like coming up with the perfect name for something to hide like sinister intentions. You know, there's talk about politicians and how they're just dressed up fools and how their manners are apish. And I'm just, like, kind of sitting here, like, in awe of how different this is than the rest of the album so far.
Yeah, it really is quite a change from the Lovin' It side, which is, it wasn't bad, but it was definitely a departure from the Chumbawamba we've come to know and love.
Much more straightforward as well. It wasn't really that hard to figure out what any of those songs were about.
Well, we might be wrong. That other Chumbawamba podcast is going to show us up. They're going to be like, actually, all of these songs were about these specific historic events that I was able to determine from doing hours of research, whereas we just smoke weed.
Yeah. But, so, this song has its focus a lot more all over the place. Like, it has a reference to Hamlet, the line from Hamlet, something's rotten in the state of Denmark, or whatever the exact line is. And the line that they use in here is, I am the something very rotten in the state of Little England. And I've never heard of Little England before. I don't know if that's like an actual, I didn't know if that was an actual thing, but it's actually like a reference to like a political movement that like wanted to have the definition of what England was to extend no further than the borders of the United Kingdom. So like everywhere that that England had conquered and imperialized throughout the, you know, its long history wouldn't count.
Yeah.
They wanted to have like a Little England. It's one of the wildest songs that just has all of these different references in it.
Yeah, Little England is also a 2013 Greek period drama. Found that
isn't
out.
It also isn't it also like an episode of Arrested Development? No, don't they go to Wee Britain?
I thought that was Wee Britain, not Little Wee England. Little England is like the bootleg version, like the don't worry, we have Wee Britain at home, and it's Little England, Greek romance drama from 2013.
Oh my god. Yeah, so there's also a reference in these lyrics in the very catchy chorus to Sirhan, the person who assassinated Robert F. Kennedy.
Oh yeah.
In the line, Sirhan, where have you gone? There's a reference to the demon from German folklore, Mephistopheles.
Isn't that the motherfucker from Cats, Mr. Mephistopheles?
Mr. Mephistopheles.
Is the cat in Cats named after the German folklore demon?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I'm going to look it up.
But I guess the short version of what I'm saying is that this song's very chaotic.
Yeah.
And, like, it felt like It felt like getting hit by a truck listening to it, almost. I've been in a very chill place when listening to Chumbawamba the past few weeks.
Mephistopheles' name derives from the demon Mephistopheles. However, the character is not sinister, as the name implies, and instead is described by Elliot as being the original conjuring cat, who is always deceiving you into believing that he's only hunting for mice, a mysterious, quiet, and small black feline capable of performing feats of magic and sleight of hand. These traits are portrayed as amusing, not fearsome or particularly deadly. I do just want to point out that Mr. Mephistopheles has his own Wikipedia entry.
Hell yeah. As he should.
Yeah.
He's a fucking iconic character. Yeah, so all of the many different cultural references aside, like, this song has a lot of really cool and interesting, like, individual lines that I like.
Yeah.
I am the something very rotten in the state of Little England is a fucking badass line.
Yeah, even if it doesn't make any fucking sense, it still sounds really cool. But, you're like, hell yeah.
Yeah, like, something's rotten here. The something rotten is me.
What's the, there's like, it's the I am Jax, there's that, the Fight Club quote, the, like, the I am Jax, complete lack of surprise, I am Jax, like, smirking confidence. All that shit. It reminds me of that, which was a very popular line to rip off when you were like a 2000s metalcore band, which is why it immediately popped into my head, and I did not know who to attribute it to because I knew it as an Icy Stars title because
that's
seeing core trash. My favorite line from this is the good King Danbert at the helm, his face on every coin in the realm. The way that they deliver it is just so fucking good, and it conjures such a good image. I think of that scene in The Simpsons where Homer's wearing the crown and has, like, all the jewels on him, but it's Danbert.
Yeah. That's, yeah, but it's Danbert instead, and he has the robe. Yeah.
That's what my brain thinks of when I hear that line. And I wish I would be okay with a monarchy if it was run by Danbert, if we're being completely honest.
Like, yeah, one of my favorite things that they do in this song is, I'm looking at the liner notes, in the album booklet. I don't know if they do this on any of the lyrics websites, but, the title of the song being All Mixed Up, that's also, like, the refrain. There's, like, a bit where Danbert is yelling the phrase, All Mixed Up, mm-hmm. and there's, like, a call and response that goes, All Mixed Up, we take a fool for a king. Which is a badass kind of, like, back and forth I really like. But in the lyrics, as printed in the album booklet, every time Danbert yells All Mixed Up, it's spelled differently. The letters of the word mixed are mixed around. So it's spelled correctly the first time, M-I-X-E-D. Then it's spelled M-E-I-X-D. Then it's spelled M-E-X-I-D. Then it's spelled M-X-D-E-I, all in the album booklet.
If we're being honest...
Like, okay, that's a fun little Easter egg for anyone who's reading along.
I did not notice that, but it might just be because I have dyslexia.
Yeah, that's possible.
I was just like, that looks fine.
Yeah, those are all the right letters.
Yeah, they're all there. That's good enough.
They're all there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also really like the beginning of the second verse. The washing powder out advert. That everybody hates, but all the research shows that's how brand names are made.
Hell yeah.
Which is so fucking true.
Yeah, like, that sounds like it's almost like a little throwback to the good old days of pictures of starving children sell records where they were very advertisement heavy focused.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, that was a fun like, I don't know if it was intentional or not, but that was a fun callback. And it's also just so fucking true, right? Just the way that brands become household names just through, like, beating us over the head with its existence.
Yeah.
I also am a big fan of the phrase washing powder, because that's the most fucking British way of saying laundry detergent that I can think of.
I mean, to be fair, washing powder, laundry detergent isn't that much better as far as, like, convoluted sayings go. Like,
no,
washing powder makes about as much sense. It's not like, oh, instead of the toilet, I use the wishy-washy closet or whatever. Fucking, all right, we have to get all of our meanness about British people out today, because next week we have a British person on the show.
Oh, that's right. Fuck. No, I mean, all I'm saying is that washing powder may even be a more logical and, like, easily, like,
Yeah, it makes
understood
sense.
Term than laundry detergent, because, you know, what is detergent to a layperson? But I'm just saying, like, just, oh, must get the washing powder.
Yeah.
You know, that's immediately what my brain conjured up.
So I don't know if you saw, but so the Prince of Saudi Arabia proposed the idea of having a city that's just a straight line where it's just like one road and everything is on it, and it's 170 kilometers long, and someone retweeted it with an absolute Hall of Fame dumb guy trying to be smart idea: what if we made a city that's just a big line? But I can't stop reading the "what if we made a city that's a big line" in the like the joke, like, what if your mom ran on batteries voice, like, what if we made a city a big line? That's what my brain has been poisoned with all today. I can't stop just repeating that line in my head, but in like a very bad British accent. That had nothing to do with what we were talking about, but besides a mutual dunk on British people and Saudi Arabia.
I'm going to make that city and city skylines and see how it does. Just a really long line.
It's a bad idea, but it's...
it's a very bad idea.
It's something that would make sense in like a simulator like City Skyline, because it doesn't take into account like people. But if you had like one line with like public transportation running on it, it wouldn't be the worst city that you could build in City Skyline. I built a city in City Skyline that I accidentally like poisoned the water supply, because I put the poop tubes above where the water intake was. Because I didn't understand how to see the like the flow of the river. Mm-hmm. Oof, those people were not happy with me.
I can imagine they were drinking poop water.
Yeah.
I don't want to drink poop water.
We've all been there. I mean.
Sometimes when you're a little desperate for a drink, you got to drink the poop water.
You got to drink the poop water. I mean, I lived in Newark, which was like lead poisoning water. So
yeah,
I'd rather drink a little poop water.
Yeah, I would rather drink a little poop water than lead poisoning water as well. Yeah. You're right.
I really just, I mean, it's kind of music and it's kind of lyrical, but I'm so happy to have harmonies and like the juxtaposition between vocalists again, because Dan Bird is the one who does most of the verses, but then the chorus is sung by some plethora of other members of Chumbawamba referencing Dan Bert, and I just think that's so fucking cute and funny. I love it.
I think it's really funny, like the way that like Dan Bert's just like shouting in the verses, and then this like really pretty like vocal harmony comes in to be like, ah, King Dan Bert.
Yeah, the good King Dan Bert on the helm.
Yeah,
I love it. I wish I was not able to find any live videos of this, but I would love to see this live.
Oh man, I can imagine this would have been a fun one live with like the energy that's in it, the like kind of shouty call and response nature of it, and then like the just chanting at the end, like where he's just chanting all mixed up over and over. It's a sick song.
I put that in like the notes that like I would just love to be in like a push pit yelling that, the all mixed up like that call and response at the end.
Yeah.
Looks like it would have been a good time.
Yeah, do you think push pits were as much of a thing?
I feel like in the 90s.
Music like Chumbawamba.
Yeah. I feel like it wouldn't be like a heavy push pit, but like you would be like dancing around and like bumping into people. Not like a rager, but I imagine there was a little bit of pits at Chumbawamba shows.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I could throw fists to this song, I think. Yeah.
It's not like something I would like full on like skank to or like throw some like windmills to, but... I would let a bunch of people shove me around and like try and climb on top of me to sing into the microphone that they were extending down into the pit.
Yeah.
From the videos we've seen, I mean, the crowds didn't look too chaotic, but
yeah,
I would be the one person being too chaotic at the show, and then
maybe we would start the chaos. Yeah. We would start the fire. Whoa,
you'd get pulled away by security.
Yeah. There's just a great energy to this entire song that I really appreciate. It's definitely like a hard left turn from the energy of the first six songs, which I also appreciate. Like, they really did just decide like, yeah, we're gonna have two halves of the same album be completely different from each other, and that's just gonna be that.
I absolutely love the effects that they put on. In the beginning of the song, where it's like,
oh yeah,
like the reverse, and like kind of like it sounds like someone like rewinding like a tape or whatever, and then it kind of it does that for like a little bit longer than I would have thought. Like it's not just like a one time thing; they do it for probably like 20 seconds before the song starts, and it's a nice transition from like this isn't the loving it part of the album anymore. Not your daddy's loving it. Now we're on hating it.
Not your mom. Yeah. Send your moms out of the room. This is where it gets heavy. Yeah.
Cover your children's eyes. We're about to mix it up. So, yeah. Also, I love Dan Burt. I love his performances on much every track. I love the shouty, and especially after watching videos of him performing live, I can't hear him sing without imagining him doing that little like body sway thing he always does.
Yeah.
Like whenever I hear his voice, I just imagine him bobbing along like that, and it's good. It's a good mental image. See, I want to see Dan Burt dressed as a king, just like bobbing.
Yeah.
With those nasty sideburns.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was at least one time during Chumbawamba's heyday when they performed this song live and Dan Burt was wearing a crown of some sort.
Yeah.
I would think it's more likely that that did happen than didn't.
if it exists, it is not on the internet, and I'm sad about it. But
yeah,
one day.
Yeah, we'll have to ask about it.
Yeah.
It's also something that struck me about this song is how fucking sick that bass line is.
Oh, it's so good. We're back in a good bass line Chumbawamba territory.
Yeah,
again.
Yeah. It's been a while since we've been like, oh, that was a sick bass line. Yeah. But like, it was this song's bass line was pretty sick. It was very like, I don't know. This is like, maybe it's just because we've been listening to like sweet acoustic songs for the past 6 weeks, but this feels like one of the heavier Chumbawamba songs we've encountered so far.
Yeah, at least, and, I mean, definitely on this album, but...
Yeah. I'm trying to remember back, like, to earlier in the discography, and I'll have to think on it more. But it does have a heavier edge to it that I really appreciate. Yeah.
It does sound like a little bit like we're ragging on, like, the past six songs. And I just want to make sure that people know that is 100% not the case. I've thoroughly enjoyed the first half of this
album.
They're
just different.
A lot more. It's just very nice to be back in this key, like, area of Chumbawamba. And also, like, it's one thing to listen to an album and have the first six songs be different and then switch it up to something else. It's another thing to talk about each song independently for 6 weeks and then have it switch up.
Right.
So it's a lot less jarring on the album than it is when you spend a week listening to each song and analyzing it.
yeah, I think that's a good point to make. Like, if you're just listening to the album straight through, it's not like a huge transition. Like, it's still a pretty big tone
but
shift.
It doesn't, it's and, not like where we're talking about it like hallelujah, like we're saved by this. Oh. I mean, we're not doing that, but I just want to make sure that it doesn't come off that way, because I really was impressed by the first half of this album a lot more than I thought I was going to be.
I loved it. Yeah. And it's just funny, like, it's been, you know, it's been however many weeks since the last time we talked about, like, a louder Chumbawamba song, and it just really kind of reminds you of just how many different modes this band has and how good they are at all of them. Like, you know, like, really spending a good amount of time with Swingin' with Raymond has helped me realize that, like, it's not actually that wild or unusual that they became a folk band, like a full straight folk band later on, because I'm like, they've always kind of been capable of doing that. So, I've definitely appreciated, like, seeing more of the history of them as, like their folk influences throughout their history in doing this album.
Yeah, the many faces of Chumbawamba.
Yeah, yeah. You know, sometimes they're the Chumbawamba baby, sometimes they're Raymond.
I've been enjoying this sea shanty kick that everyone on Twitter has been on.
Oh my god, me too.
It makes me excited to listen to the what do you call it? Their English Rebel songs.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's not like shanties, but it's pretty close.
It's all acapella.
Yeah, it's acapella British people. That's basically a shanty. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Sea Shanty TikTok right now.
I watched, it's so funny, I've been sending them to my mom because my dad has always been big into sea shanties because he's an old man from New England. But we watched a sea shanty movie on Christmas. That was like one of like the things we did for Christmas was there's a movie on Netflix called Fisherman's Friends. And I think I was texting y'all about that.
You were, yeah.
Is about a like group of like sea shanty men that get signed to like a major label as like a bit almost, and then they blow up. And it's very funny watching that with my parents, and they were like, this is so good. And then now TikTok and Twitter is all about sea shanties. I've been sending them to my mom. She's like, I love this. And I'm like, nice, good. We're breaching the generational gaps through the power of sea shanties.
Bonding with your family in these unprecedented times through sea shanties.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it makes sense that people are starting to post sea shanties on TikTok and Twitter, and you know that they're blowing up because, like, with COVID lockdowns and everything, it's only natural that everybody misses the thrills of sailing the high seas. You know, and just trying to get back into that mindset by listening to their favorite shanties that they would sing as they set off on their voyage. Yeah,
COVID's really, really hurting the whaling industry. You know.
Yeah.
you can't whale socially distanced.
What phase of the vaccination do you think? During which phase of the vaccination do you think whalers will get theirs?
I mean, they're frontline workers, so hopefully soon.
That's true.
Yeah.
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 Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. You want to take down Chumbawamba versus the people?
Yeah. So.
Let's go. Looking at these YouTube videos that you included in our show notes has alerted me to a very important fact about songs titled All Mixed Up. Would you like to share it?
Yeah. So I was looking for All Mixed Up, and every time I always assume that Chumbawamba is a bigger band than they are, and I'll just type in the name of the track into YouTube and expect it to pop up, and it does not. The biggest song named All Mixed Up is by a friend of the show, 311.
Yeah.
So the Chumbawamba...
There's also... Sorry, go ahead.
The Chumbawamba upload of All Mixed Up does not have any comments on it, so I did also include the link to All Mixed Up by 311.
Yeah, there's also the song All Mixed Up by The Cars.
Yeah.
Which is off of their debut album that came out in the 70s. And I am fucking loving the comments on this one.
On the Cars music video?
On the Cars music video.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to read one to you from a user named Chipper63. The YouTube user named Chipper63 says, "So many humid summer nights in upstate New York, sitting in the woods with friends, a small fire, and a few cases of beer. The Cars were always a band that somebody had a cassette tape of playing on their dashboard deck. The radio speakers were usually on long wires and were placed on the back window deck. We'd pull them out and set the speakers on the trunk and crank the music well into the night out there. Great memories of the late 70s and early 80s, before the world got too big for its britches."
Wonderful.
Damn. And then directly beneath Chipper63's comment is a reply from someone named Chip Carter, who just said, "Ditto."
I'm looking at the 311 music video, and this comment is exactly what you would imagine a comment on a 311 video is. It's 5 years ago from Ernie Baylor. "I have smoked so much weed listening to this band! ! 90s was a great decade to be a teenager." I've got another one here from Brandon G 2 years ago, who says, "I will always remember the first time I heard this band on a Walkman cassette player during science class in the 5th grade. Me and my friend Steven taking turns with his headphones and trying not to let the teacher see us. It was the Blue Album. That year for Christmas, I got my first boombox with a cassette and CD player built in. Shortly after, I asked my parents to take me to the local music and video store, where I went to the CD section and started looking for something to buy. And there it was. a used copy of the Blue Album on CD in all its glory. I took it home, popped in the boombox, and listened to it on repeat for days, reading the CD booklet and learning lyrics. I could go on and on about 311 because they have been the number one band in my life since those younger days. Their albums have paralleled my life, and I can't remember where I was in life when I was listening to any of these songs. 311 isn't just a band. It's a part of who many of us are as people.
That's damn. Like... We should do a 311 episode.
I would be down. I like 311.
We should do a 311 podcast.
311 is one of those bands that, like, they're kind of like a joke, like a bit.
Yeah.
But their music is good enough that I don't completely hate it. Like they've got some bops. I liked them a little bit more when they were more nu metal-y and less jam bandy. But
yeah,
it's wild to me that so many people have chosen 311 to be a band that they like revolve their lives around.
Yeah, it is really wild to me how popular they still are with people.
Yeah,
Good for them.
I'm signed up on the 311 mailing list, and I get those emails once every like 2 months, and they're just like, "Hey guys, 311 here." They're doing a bunch of like weird live stream shit.
Have you watched any of them?
I have not. I don't care that much. I do also just want to point out that I have now thoroughly fucked up my YouTube algorithms by watching 311 music videos. But I'm recommended the Sublime Wrong Way video, 311 Down, and then Little Peep Awful Things. And Little Peep looks a lot like the guy from 311.
Oh, man. The fucking dream mashup or collaboration that's never going to happen, unfortunately. Yeah.
Too soon.
I've got another comment on the 311 All Mixed Up video from 3 months ago. Ellen Rodriguez writes, "Man, I'm jealous of people that were my age back in the 90s. Parentheses 25 years. You folks went to the best concerts. There weren't so many rules. More freedom, and still could have a smashing time in the early 2000s. People my age now are mainly at home surfing the net and trying not to offend people with their opinions."
Wow.
Damn it, PC culture. Yeah, you ruined
311 for me.
If only we could go live in the 90s again.
I've got another one here from Blake Earp 5 months ago, who just says, "Smoking a fatty and came here, 2020 got me all mixed up."
Hell yeah.
I too am smoking a fatty in 2020, baby. Oh god.
Oh no, this one's really sad.
What is it?
This is from Dominic one year ago, so you know, January of 2020, who wrote, "I have tickets to see these guys in July. I can't wait."
Oh, rest in peace.
I'm sorry, Dominic. I'm sorry that you didn't get to see 311 in July of 2020.
So I had tickets to see 311 once, and I straight up just forgot to go.
Oh, yeah.
I got him through that, like, when Ticketmaster owed everyone, like, a pile of money for being a scam. It was 311, The Offspring, and Gym Class Heroes, I think. It was, like, an insane tour. And I straight up just, like, forgot and booked a show at my house the same day. And then, like, 2 days later was like, "Oh, those 311 tickets were done. Whoops. Whatever."
You should have ditched the show you booked and gone to see 311.
Yeah, probably the better idea. I want to read one more comment here. From Big Boy Boba, who says, "Makeout song, smiley face."
Ooh, that's kind of a... All Mixed Up by 311 is kind of an upbeat tune to make out to.
Yeah, I mean, Big Boy Boba's flexing.
Man, that's some fast-paced making out, I guess.
There are so many people in these comments that are just like, weed. Like,
good. 311 is absolutely a weed band, you know?
100%.
Yeah, I get it.
That's why I wanted to see him live, just like smoke weed with a bunch of like 35-year-old guys who work in IT. Sounds great.
I've got one more from the Cars All Mixed Up video from someone named Jeff 4 months ago, who wrote, "Just cruising in an 87 Grand National, listening to this song."
was that Joe Biden?
yeah, that's Joe Biden. Joe Biden fucking loves the Cars, and he specifically loves the song All Mixed Up. How do you think Joe Biden feels about Chumbawamba?
He's probably aware of them. He keeps saying things that are very close to Chumbawamba quotes.
Yeah, he said something that was like,
yeah,
on the day of the stupid shit at the Capitol, he said something that was like, oh, it was after he gave his remarks, he like stood on the stage away from the podium and just screamed, "Enough is enough."
Yeah.
At the audience, and like all of the news networks had already cut away because he had walked away from the podium, and then they were like, oh wait, he's still talking. And then by the time they got the audio back to him, he was not talking anymore. It was pretty funny.
He also, there was something on the campaign stage where he said something about getting knocked down and getting back up again, but it wasn't.
There was also the time that he was campaigning for president in 2008 that he said, "Give the fascist man a gunshot." That was pretty cool. And then he took out a gun and shot Mitt Romney. It was pretty dope.
Yeah, Joe Biden officially more radical than the dead Kennedys.
Yeah. Oh no. Don't talk about the dead Kennedys. It's so fucking sad.
It would be more sad if Jello Biafra wasn't just like dunking on them constantly, like separately.
Yeah, that's true.
Like he posted the meme of like the dead Kennedys, like the two dogs, and the dead Kennedys in 2020 was like, "I want to kiss Mitt Romney."
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank God. Like Jello's politics aren't perfect, but no, they're a lot better than the dead Kennedys politics.
Yeah.
I don't understand how you go from being like a Green Party libertarian voter to being like, "I really like Elizabeth Warren, but I'm not a brain poisoned 70-year-old, so not my problem." Yeah. Well, any other comments? We never even announced, did we announce the segment of this podcast? We've just kind of we've been flowing. I don't think we said Chumbawamba versus the people.
We announced Chumbawamba versus the people.
I don't know.
We swung right through that.
We've just been swinging right through this episode, man.
We've just been swinging. Listen.
Time swings when you're having swung, you know?
When you're all mixed up and you don't know what to do. Yeah. Skiddly-diddly-beep-bop. Skiddly-diddly-doo. I'm a scat man.
We should have done scat man for the bonus episode this week. I mean,
yeah,
we
maybe.
Still can.
I have a couple thoughts about the bonus episode this week that we'll get to.
Okay.
I'm down for whatever. But for now, what?
I'm down for whatever. I'll
hell yeah. Amber is the color of my energy.
Whoa.
Do you have any final thoughts about the song All Mixed Up?
Whether 311?
It's the 311 one, the Chumbawamba one, whatever.
I did listen to the 311 one while I was preparing for this and fell down a little bit of a 311 hole. Wasn't that bad. Yeah. I get it. Like if I was a stoner in the 90s, I feel like 311 would be the band that you look back on and go, yeah, they weren't that bad. Like it's better than like reminiscing about like Cottonmouth Kings or some shit like that.
Yeah, there are way worse bands than 311.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
And as far as Chumbawamba's All Mixed Up goes, it's a banger. I feel like this album in general is really underrated, but this song is an absolute bop and deserves a little bit more attention. So
yeah.
Check it out.
So yeah, I'm a big fan of this song. It's one of the standouts on the album for me so far, and I think Dambert is just like such a good, he's such a good vocalist for this type of song. And it's nice to get yet another song to put File Away under the Chumbawamba is a very unique and versatile band. Yeah. File. Yeah. If you had to rate the song, what would you give it, Teddy?
I'm gonna give it a 311 out of 311.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah.
I was just gonna give it a 311 out of 420, but you know, to each their own.
Yeah. C'est la vie.
It's a 311. 311 was kind of the low-hanging fruit this week.
Oh yeah,
like for the rating system.
I honestly forgot that we rated them, and
yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Was caught cool. Caught off guard.
Cool. We've only been doing this podcast for what is this, the fucking 65th episode?
Every day I wake up and my mind is a blank slate of everything that has happened, and then I memento style have to reteach myself the what's been going on for the last 9 months by scrolling through Twitter.
Gotcha. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that checks out.
Yeah.
You have to remind yourself who Elio and I are.
Yeah, I wake up, I look, and I go, why am I in a group chat with these two fucking people? And why are, why is one of them named after me? And then I have to read 10,000 messages.
Why is one of them constantly DMing me on the side about Chumbawamba? Yeah,
who is this?
What is Chumbawamba? Yeah. but then Chumbawamba is like the tattoo that he gives himself in Memento that kind of like clicks everything else into place. As soon as I say the phrase Chumbawamba, you like flash back to everything.
Yeah.
We're going to write that movie. After we write our Chumbawamba coming of age love story, we're going to write our
Chumbawamba
write...
Memento knockoff.
Yeah.
Chumbamento. Chumbamento. Chumbawamento. There we go.
Oy vey. All right, Teddy, you want to take us down to leftism?
Yeah, let's mosey on over. So, it should go without saying...
Donald Trump's off Twitter, baby! did it! Democracy is saved, man!
Just like, we recorded our episode last week... a day before the coup attempt, whatever you want to call it. And since a week has gone by, I'm sure that you've heard every single possible take on that a million times over. There's nothing that we could say that would be that mind-blowingly introspective or funny or anything. So it doesn't feel worth our time to rehash something that's been beaten to death. But if you weren't aware... there was a coup on America, maybe, I don't know. Honestly, the only thing about all this that like fucking freaks me out is the fact that cops just kind of like let them wander in, and that this is going to be used to create like a new war on terror but focused in the US, and it's almost definitely going to be used to just further criminalize protests, and is all the laws, much like any law in this U.S., it'll primarily be used to target black and brown people and other minorities who are standing up for actual injustices in the country and not just mad that their tweeter friend didn't get elected again. So,
yeah,
that's all we're going to say on that. But the actual thing that I want to focus on this year is related to protests, but it's a little different. We're going to talk about the ACLU is officially suing the Patterson Police Department over the arrests of Black Lives Matter leaders in 2019, protests over Jameik Lowry. So I'm just going to read the quote here from the ACLU. The action is brought by prominent Black Lives Matter activists who were arrested as they sought to protest police violence and call for increased police accountability. They seek to protect some of the most fundamental civil rights, the right to free expression and the right to be free from unlawful arrests. The Patterson Police Department targeted activists for arrest because they were perceived as leaders of a movement that was critical of police. The lawsuit claimed that the arrest chilled the activists' speech and expressive activities, making it harder for them to convey their message seeking change. So I don't 100% love the ACLU. I think they kind of paint their brush a little too broadly on whose freedom they are so determined to protect. They were responsible for getting the white nationalists the right to protest down in Charlottesville, which ended up with a woman losing her life because of that protest. But in this case, I do think that it's very good that they are taking a step towards actually trying to make these police departments responsible for trying to illegally quell protests against police acting immorally. It's not a whole lot, but it is something in a way to fight back against police violence other than being in the streets, because as we've seen, being in the streets, while wonderful, will most likely lead to you getting arrested. And once that happens, when you're up against they're playing with a loaded deck, because the cops are the ones that can arrest you, and then the justice system is on the cop side. So it's nice to have somebody, even if it is the ACLU, on the side of protesters.
Yeah.
And that's about it. So hopefully this shit goes through, and hopefully it sets a precedent. Because that's the thing, is it great that these two leaders, one of them is Zelly, who we've talked about on the show before, is it great that they will hopefully be found not guilty? Yes. Is it better that this will hopefully set a little bit of a precedent that other judges can refer to, that if you get arrested for protesting police violence and you haven't actually done anything violent, that you could be freed because of like this lawsuit. Hopefully that's something I'd like to see change, especially because, as I mentioned, as Joe Biden gets into office, he's already mentioned wanting to beef up policing because of these attacks on the Capitol. And once again, it doesn't take a genius to understand that they will most likely be used to spy on and criminalize protests, specifically like Black Lives Matter protests.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a bleak, like it's great that they'll hopefully see some justice after this, but it sucks that for protesting police violence, you could be arrested, especially in a city like Patterson. I mean, Patterson's not the best city in the world, but it is a primarily Black city. So you'd like to think that a Black Lives Matter activist in that city would be held in a little bit higher regard than like somewhere with like active white supremacy. Not that there is an active white supremacy in Patterson. I don't know exactly. I'm sure there is, because there's active white supremacy everywhere in this fucking country. But you would think in a majority Black owned, or not owned, but majority Black city that relies on the mutual aid that these leaders provide would be a little bit more forgiving. But
yeah,
no. Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, so hopefully, I mean, like you said, hopefully, like, this helps set a little bit more of a precedent.
Yeah.
And anytime there's, like, any sort of fight going to protect protesters and activists, especially Black activists, it's like, hopefully it turns out well, because we need to do all of the work we can to protect those folks. Yeah. So, yeah. Hopefully, maybe we'll revisit this story in a couple weeks or however long it takes, and have good news to share about it.
I'm going
to
be keeping an eye on it.
So hell yeah!
Hopefully, we get some good news.
Yeah. In the meantime, I want to say thank you so much for listening to Chumbology.
Yeah.
A Chumbawamba anthology podcast. The music you heard in this episode was the song "All Mixed Up" by Chumbawamba from their album "Swingin' with Raymond." We don't have the rights to it, but, you know, maybe we'll call up the ACLU, ask them to represent us in a court case.
Can
where
you
we
help
say
us sue Chumbawamba?
Having access to the Chumbawamba masters is one of my civil liberties. I'm going to say, hopefully, you know, there's no problem with us using the song, but I know there won't be for long, even if there is.
Yeah. If you want more of us, you can find us on Twitter at Chumbology Rocks. Send us an email.
But you can't find Trump on Twitter because he got banned, baby.
Yeah, we're going to get banned for retweeting that Coca-Cola tweet, because that's actually what got him banned. He took on Big Soda and lost. You can send us an email at chumbologypod@gmail.com or visit our website, chumbology.rocks, which just has links to all those things, as well as past episodes, other bullshit. I also do just want to give a shout out to Garfamous messaged me on Twitter asking to send us money so that they can make themselves a Chumbology shirt, and I told them that they did not need to send us money for that, because we are profiting off of someone else's intellectual property, and it felt weird to do that. So just donate to a cause. But very cool that someone will make a Chumbology shirt before we had the idea to.
That sounds fucking sick. Yeah. I can't wait to see it. As we talked about last week, we're putting together a compilation of covers of the song Tub Thumping. We will have more information about that in the show notes, about how to get it to us, where we're going to be sending the money from it. We still haven't finalized a charitable cause, but we're working on that.
Yeah.
And we're trying to get as many different people covering the song Tub Thumping as possible to release alongside our episode covering the song Tub Thumping. So if you're interested, check the show notes, email us, and we'd love to have you on.
Hell yeah.
We've also got Patreon, which, real quick, we, in the past few weeks, have gotten a bunch of new patrons. Yeah. Like, I think 4 or 5 new people have signed up in the past month or so. So I just want to say thank you so much to them.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I'm not going to read names, because, like, that's not, like, I didn't get their permission or anything, but, like, and also, that's not one of the fucking perks listed on the tiers. Just thank you so much. We really appreciate the support. We earn enough money a month that the podcast hosting pays for itself, so that's very nice. If you want to contribute to our Patreon and give us, you know, help us on our way to our podcasting millions that we were promised when we first signed our big official podcasting contracts with Audible. And this is an Audible original podcast. We're still waiting on the big checks. So if you want to help us out in the meantime, please visit patreon.com/chumbology. We got a bunch of bonus episodes about music, the musical Hamilton, and possibly about the game Roller Coaster Tycoon this week.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see what we end up doing.
I'm excited. No matter what, I think it'll be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about it. Stay safe out there, folks.
As always, if you want to send your money to, you know, the same thing that Teddy said about making a Chumbology t-shirt, if you want to send your money to a more activist cause, like a Black Lives Matter fund or a bail fund or any sort of mutual aid program in your community, but you're still interested in listening to our bonus content, go ahead and make that donation and send us the receipt, and we will send you whatever you'd like to listen to.
Yeah. I think that's it. That's about it.
I think that's it. Meh. It's just about time for me to swing on out of here.
Yeah. Oh!
Wow. Wow, you're recycling old jokes now?
I'm always recycling.
Just wait until I talk to Jeff Bezos about this one. Am I right? Audible, please return my calls.